Let's start. Welcome all. Welcome to a webinar in the Cross-Community Working Group, or the CWG, on the development of an IANA stewardship transition proposal for the naming-related functions. I see we're about a limited number of people in the chat, so or in that over room at least, so I think we'll have a good conversation today. If you're not familiar with Adobe system, you know there is a chat. Hello.
What one?
Sorry, someone is speaking.
Mary, please. Mary, can you go on mute, please?
Okay. If you're not familiar with the system, there is a chat in the Adobe Connect room where you can write comments during presentations, etc. You can also raise your hand and you'll be given the word. And when I miss it, Bart or Christina will shout to me to give people the floor. Before this meeting, a PDF was sent to most CCTLD lists. What is the transition of NTIA about? 5 pages. And I urge you, I recommend you to read it. It's a short list to get acquainted with a great proposal that was presented last week. I forgot to mention my name, and it's Staffan Johnson. My day job is with the cctld.se, as in Sweden. And I'm engaged in the CWG now in this process. So, if nothing else, we'll continue to the next slide, please, Art or Christina. If you're not familiar, could we just go back one step? Yeah. If you're not familiar with the work, this is the way of presenting the structure of this work. And as I mentioned, we are the CWG, black in this picture. And we're putting up a proposal for the ICG. There is also at the bottom of the picture an organization called the CCWG talking about ICANN accountability, and our proposal presented today is have a lot in common and the commonalities with the CCWG. I will come back to this relation later on. So could we please take next presentation? The purpose of this call is bring you as members of the naming community into this proposal to get to know it better, and hopefully you will also engage in the public hearing period that is going on currently. It started last week and it will continue until May the 20th, and we hope you will participate in giving written comments to the proposal per se. As you can see on the screen, the goal of the CWG stewardship is to produce a consolidated transitional proposal for the elements of the IANA functions when we talk about the domain name system. So we're not going into the IP addresses and not into the standards, for example, from the IETF. This is important, and I really want to put emphasis on that you engage in this work, and if you want to do it, you do it now, because after this public comment period, proposals will be quite late to have some substantial effect. So if you want to have substantial effect, it is really appreciated if you give your input before May the 20th, because that will help all in this process. So now is the time to contribute in this work. If we please could go to the next slide. In this picture, you see a little bit about the work process per se. You see 19 members appointed and in all 125 participants engaging in the CWG stewardship, the IANA transition proposal. So there's a lot of engagement going on. There has been, as mentioned, 94 calls and several thousand of hours put on this and several thousand of mails put into the process. As you might see in this timeline, there is a public comment period sorry, you cannot see this. this is prior time. So we'll get to the next steps in this timeline soon. This is an overview of the process, and this group was initiated in the beginning of October at ICANN 51. And there's been a couple of central meetings in Frankfurt and in Istanbul, and there's also online a couple of intensive working days, one in January and one coming up at the end of May, once all the comments from the public period is submitted to the team. Could we please have the next slide? So in this continuation of the timeline, we see more up-to-date. We are in the right-hand public comment, the gray area, public comment 2 right now. So during 28 days, we hope that engaged TLDs, and specifically CCTLDs, will engage and read through this proposal and give their input to it. It is key that we have input from more than a little group, that we have lots of input from CCT community. Okay. So could we please go to next? Thank you. As I mentioned initially, we are the CWG, and we're part of a larger context called the ICG that will produce this proposal of the Yano transition. We do, however, have close connection with the CCWG, another and parallel working group on accountability for ICANN. And reading this proposal presented today, you should also be aware of what is happening in the CCWG, the parallel group per se. This is key to understanding the whole process per se, to see the both groups and what their output is. Yes. So there are two parallel processes. I want to put emphasis on this again. The CWG, which we are, and the CCWG, enhancing ICANN accountability. And there is an overlap in time for this. So could we have the next slide, please? In the other group, the CCW or ICANN accountability, there are four themes being discussed. And I'm just for your knowledge, I'm telling you about these, and I will return to them later on in this presentation. First, there is the possibility of having accountability towards ICANN through the ICANN budget. There is a discussion about how making ICANN costs more transparent and have a more detailed breakdown of what things actually cost, and that is one way to actually ensure accountability from ICANN. A second theme of discussion within the other group is community empowerment. And it is proposed that community will be able to balance the power between ICANN board and community. That is part of their proposal, and as I mentioned, a key for the ANA transition proposal. And in the utmost extremes, there's discussion about being able to reject ICANN board decisions or even spilling the board, as the expression is, taking away members or the full ICANN board as well. I'm not sure, and I cannot explain that fully because I haven't followed it in detail, but I know this is discussed at least within the parallel process. There is also discussion about a review and redress mechanism, and this indicates that, similar to the affirmation of commitment, today's structure of making revisions or rather looking into what is actually happening in the ANA functions, there will be something similar post the ANA transition as proposed. There will be regular reviews of the ANA functions, maybe every 5 years. There will also be a specific fundamental bylaw implemented in ICANN also in the intent of balancing the power between ICANN board and the community per se. At least this is proposed. And a specific review can also be initiated in the for the review and redress mechanism of ICANN relation to the broader community. What is changed from last proposal presented in December from this group is that there is not an appeals mechanism per se presented. And this is probably the case because there are so many other accountability mechanisms built into the process. Maybe we can return to that later on. So that was the other group, the CCWG, talking about ICANN accountability. So let's go back. Could we please go to the next slide? Yes, that one, please. Thank you. And start looking into the main proposal, if I may say so, the main structure or the main picture to understand what is happening right now. So in the middle of the picture, you have a gray vertical line separating current situation from future or perceived post-transition IANA functions. At the left, you see the NTIA, the U.S. government representative, oversighting the ICANN, including the IANA functions within the blue box, so to say. This is regulated through a contract between U.S. government and ICANN, and this is probably known to most people. So if we take a step to the right side of the gray line, we see the perceived idea of how this balance will look in the future post-transition. You see the same blue box, you see the same actors, but this model is a bit elaborated due to the absence of U.S. government. You see the ICANN board, which is present today, and you see a second function, the new IANA or the post-transition IANA, also abbreviated as the PTI. What is interesting to see in this blue box is that there is a legal separation between the IANA and the ICANN and the ICANN board. So there will, according to this proposal, be a board for the post-transition IANA governing the IANA function per se. It is the PTI, or the post-transition IANA, is separated from ICANN, which had a strong support within the CC community when we had surveys made during November and January. This demand from the CC community is made through this legal separation of the post-transition IANA from ICANN. So separability is ensured through creating a PTI as an independent legal body. I think the legal term within California law is an affiliate. This is a minor company being part of a larger context of companies. So I'm sorry, I'm lacking the language here, but it's a sub company to ICANN. And this is perceived to be the model of both ensuring separability in one way, and also giving accountability both for ICANN and for this future IANA function. However, the future IANA or the post-transition IANA is, however, convened in the ICANN environment. But since it's legal separated, it is held in an independent state. PTI and ICANN is bound together by a civil contract where ICANN is the IANA functions operator, and the PTI is maintaining the IANA functions per se. ICANN is the sole owner of the PTI, so it is controlled to a large extent by ICANN, but it's also mechanisms coming up that ensure some independence from ICANN board, so it's not fully owned by ICANN. As I mentioned, the PTI is perceived to have a board of its own, a very lightweight such, a small board, according to the more narrow tasks that is to the ANA functions, in comparison with the ICANN board that has quite broad issues to handle. And the PTI, the post-transition ANA, is perceived to have a separate budget, separate staffing, in order to be separable if it ever would be needed in the future. So my take on this, my personal take on this, is that there is already in this separation some accountability built into the process per se, that it is possible to separate the ANA functions from ICANN. We'll talk more about that in a couple of minutes. So, in this picture, we've covered ICANN IANA functions and how it's perceived to be transformed in post-transition functions. But we have a lot of other boxes in this picture. And we can see two green pictures. One relates to an review function, the overview of what is actually happening. And it's called, in this picture, IFR. And it's a review function being able to have say about how the ANA function is being governed per se and how it's being run. And there is also a customer standing committee, a CSC. And these two organizations have a specific role connected in these orange frame, as you see. I'll approach this picture even further in a while. But first, I'll just mention the two green boxes, because they are part of the model as well. If you go bottom, you see a customer standing committee, the CSC. And as the name is indicating, it's a standing function. It's perceived to be a very minimal function, just receiving the same reports that the ANA issued today, looking into them, controlling if everything is working in the technical operations. It's supposed to be a constant or standing function, whereas other functions may be assembled just by need. So this is the institution that will be in operations all time. The CSC will meet regularly. I think it's proposed every month or so, and it will review reports from IANA and the outcome relating to agreements in service level expectations. The CSC is perceived to be maybe with two CCTLD representatives, two GTLD representatives, an IAB, Internet Architecture Board, and the eventual liaisons being engaged in this process. So, and the idea behind this is to make it really minimal, the CSC. It's just have a very narrow function of overseeing technical operations, and that is an intention behind that. It's supposed to have a very narrow mandate, the CSC, to act on its own. It's not thought to actually initiate too many things in its own power, but rather that needs to happen elsewhere in this model. The CSC is a standing only overview, or as someone mentioned somewhere, they will have a boring job. I don't agree about that, but this will be the everyday organization overviewing the post-transition IANA. Then, however, if things become complicated, and even if they don't, there will be yet another review function within this model, the IFR, the top green organization in this picture. This is not perceived to be a permanent body, but is composed similar to ICANN board, and that is a multi-stakeholder representation, giving input from all of the interested community. Whereas CSC, as I mentioned, is its preliminary composition is perceived to be only the direct customers of the ANA functions. And the direct customers, that is CCTLDs, GTLDs, I understand it's the IIB and maybe some else. And that is also why the CEC have a very direct and operational task. It shouldn't be crowded by people. That's the thought behind it. And the multi-stakeholder representation will be in the IFR, the Annual Functions Review. So this is the pieces, the components of the model per se. So a separated IANA, and or at least an independent IANA, it is convened in the ICANN environment, but it has its own board, its own environment. There is a review function being assembled every now and then, and there is a constant overview called the CSC. Those are the main components for the post-IANA transition models. There are also customers in this picture. So in the bottom of this picture, you have three customers, and this relates to what happened if. What happens if there is problem? And there will be problem, but there are a lot of work being put down into the CWG group to handle what happens if. And there is, based on studies made in January by Paul Kane, I think it is, and the group on service level expectations, there is in rough numbers, there's about a two-day response from the IANA on direct proposal from anyone in the public. So if you call the IANA today, you have, in rough numbers, 2 days response, in general terms at least. And this is more a processual or process-oriented way of approaching these boxes, which otherwise just turn into institutions. So what we can perceive, as I mentioned before, the process in lower right, you have the customers, the direct customers of IANA, or you have anyone. They have a purple representation in the picture down right. So what happens if someone wants to complain to the technical operations of IANA functions operator? Well, as it is today, anyone may complain and raise issues with the operations per se, and that is perceived to be the situation in the future as well. The difference is that there is the new body, the CSC, which wasn't there before, and IANA primary customers represent this group as a specific input to the IANA relating to technical operations. So that's one of the new things, the appearance of the CSC. And there is also, as I mentioned, the top green box, the IANA Functional Review Team, that take over what was a function that used to be within the US government before the NTIA. Okay. So I hope I at least have presented the components. I'll try to get further into the processual work per se. And just in this picture as well, please note in the top right corner in orange, there's the CCWG accountability. And as I mentioned earlier, they have several ideas of how making this process more accountable and how it will ensure accountability once the NTIA is taking out of the equation. And reading this proposal also need awareness of what is happening in the parallel group, the CCWG, to understand where the accountability mechanism kicks in. So what you see in this picture is mainly a table of functions, maybe not necessarily organizations, but functions that is needed to post-transition in the IANA. I will later on address specific CCTLD aspects of this table. So if we just could go further on to next slide, timeline, an hour way ahead. What will happen now as you see in this picture, this is an enlargement of the earlier timeline, actually. We are right now on the public comment period 2, the gray field in the picture. And this your window of making input to this process is May 20th. And then you see the close of the public comment. So if engaging, please do that before May 20th. June 8th, there will be delivered names proposal to the other supporting organization of ICA, the SOs and the ACs. And it's perceived that June 25th, during ICA meeting in Buenos Aires, the CWG will present this final proposal to the ICG to further consideration. So I've been speaking for 28 minutes, and just to make sure you're not asleep, are there any questions or remarks so far? Okay, seems I made almost all fall asleep. Not Peter van Roster. Peter, please.
Hi, Stefan. Thanks for the overview. I was wondering if you will go into a bit more detail in the possible appeals possibilities later on. Okay.
Yes.
Then I'll hold my question. Thanks.
The short one is yes. So, Peter, please. Oh, you had the same question. Okay. So this was a primer to get us all on the same page, hopefully. So if there are no other questions, I'll continue with what we call a specific CCTLD aspects of the proposal. And you see, we'll address at least three issues. One is authorization function, one is service level agreements for CCTLDs, and one is what happens if, as I mentioned before, what happens if there's a problem, if there's friction, if there's even conflict within the community of how the IANA functions are run. So could we please go to authorization function? Next slide, or do I have, yes, I do seem to have scroll power. So today's situation, this picture illustrates the current situation. The NTIA today give authorization to a process, simplified of course, but as you see in this picture, going from left, CCTLD given IANA requests, it's addressed to IANA. NTIA gave authorization for this change, and then IANA gives a root zone change request to the root zone manager, and this is the picture today. Okay, I'm not sure if I'm doing this change in the pictures of. Okay, and thank you. And in the future, what is perceived here is that there will be no authorization proposed post-transition, so the IANA function of giving authority to these changes will go away. In this picture, you just see the same components, the same aspects, but the NTIA is not part of the process. And one reason or argument for doing this, taking away this authorization function, is that it's perceived not being necessary, and it's also making the process faster and more flexible. It even give a starting point for a fully automation that has been discussed within this process as well, an automation of a CCTLD update with all of the root zone changes. But that is not an issue yet, but it's at least the first step towards such process. It is good to know that, because specifically if you engage with your GAC representative, there might be issues about this, or at least they want to know your GAC representative or your government might be interested in what this indicates. So it is good to know about this change happening. Could we take the next picture, please? And most people are familiar with the expression service level agreements, which is part of everyday contracts. And we've also initiated service level expectations instead. Since many CCTLDs are not contracted, this is a way of at least putting down what is expected from the ANA functions operations in the future post-transition. This is written down in service level expectations, or SLEs. SLEs are applicable for all TLDs, of course, both CCTLDs and GTLDs. There is a division, however, that most GTLDs are contracted, maybe with ICANN, whereas most CCTLDs are not contracted but have a de facto relation or agreement with the ANA. So there is a little different environment when we talk about CCs and GTLDs. As mentioned before, there is a customer standing committee, the standing overviewer of the ANA functions seen in this proposal, called the CSC. And with they are supposed to monitor the ANA performance of the SLEs by receiving reports, as already is being done today. CSC is also expected to overview, technical overview, however, in a limited mandate, just looking into technical operations. So that is the CSC monitor SLEs today. They receive reports, and they might resolve issues around SLE directly. This monitoring function is actually even possible to, before it comes to the CSC, any complaints could go directly to the ANA from any individual. Having a customer standing committee is a way of institutionalizing or a function, an overview at least. So it's more stringent, perhaps. There is also a mechanism to change the ANA services, and the idea behind this is that we cannot lock into the development of the root zone. We need the ability to develop the root zone per se, and the example is the development of DNSSEC, and there might be other forms of innovation of the DNS system in the future. And in order to do that, there need to be a mechanism to address and accept changes to the ANA services per se. Since it's in the root zone, it will affect us all. And there will also be a mechanism for changing the service level expectations over time for review and adjustment. And that is also an important aspect, so it's not carved in stone forever, whatever is written in these performance. So there will be the service level expectations are not yet written in detail, but they will be. So could we go to the next slide, please? Yes. And here we come closer to the remedial and escalation mechanisms, and saying that there are several of them. And as in current situation, an individual today has the right to complain about the operations of YANA functions. I think I mentioned this before. Post-transition, this right will remain. Any individual CCTLD, for example, will have the right to complain and go directly to YANA. It is a not well grounded, but still a belief that maybe 95% of all complaints might be remedied with in direct contact with the YANA, as probably is the case today. But all these remedial and escalation mechanisms are put in place for the very extreme cases where this is not the case, where there is conflict, and there is lots of mechanisms going on here. As I mentioned, anyone can address the ANA functions, but there will also be additional mechanisms for complaints and escalations. You can see one of the mechanisms being presented in the proposal detail in page 62 of the proposal, and that is one of the first steps to have how complaint is to be handled in detail. This is quite detailed steps or processes for handling complaints, so I won't go into them too deep now. Could we please have the next slide, please? And in this picture, you see three mechanisms as predefined or predefined steps for managing different problems in the ANA functions operations. And as indicated before, hopefully 95% will be remedied within direct contact with the ANA, but once there is, or if there is a conflict escalating, we call this an escalation mechanism to see what happens if, or who has the final power. And there might be an emergency process for route zone changes, and that is, of course, the case even today. It has a very short time span, and it indicates issues where things happen, really happen to things happen, need to happen right now. And this is for TLD managers, as mentioned, as the same as today. There is also a complaint resolution process outlined in the proposal, a customer service complaint resolution process. And this is for anyone who has a complaint about the ANA services, as I mentioned. It is quite similar to today's situation as well, but with some new steps at the end. And then there is the problem management escalation process, and this is a new process for maybe not, at least my personal belief, if we go to this one, it will not be technical operations anymore, then it will be almost pure conflicts about other issues, that delegation, for example, or systematic problems associated with the provision of ANA services. So this is has a very long time span in escalation and in remedial actions. So that's why there are three processes for what happens if something goes wrong. These three processes are described in detail in Annexes J, K, and L on pages 68, 69, and 72 of the proposal. Yes. If we could have the next slide, please. Are there any more?
Stefan, this is it.
This is it. Okay, thank you. So before opening the floor, I'll just give some further. I might have mentioned this during the presentation, but in this proposal presented last week, there is no independent appeals mechanism, the IAP, as presented in December. And this is due to surveys from the naming community, where in December, lots of members in the naming community said this was an important component. And when we asked again in January, most members didn't give this much of an attention. So, and I believe that is this shift in expectation is due to the accountability process, the CCWG presented in the proposal, or rather parallel to this proposal. So after making surveys in the naming community, we found little support for an independent appeals mechanism, since there are so many checks and balances built into the process, or at least this latest thing is my interpretation of the situation. So I just want to mention that. So may I open the floor for questions? I know Peter, for example, wanted to address the escalation mechanisms in more detail.
Stefan Keith has his hand up.
Oh, Keith, please.
Hi,
Stefan, and hi, everybody. A couple of questions for you. The members of the CSC, the IFC and the PTI board, I'm not really too concerned about how they're selected or appointed, but I just want to know, does the ICANN board or staff have any right of veto or any right to appoint any individual member to those structures, or is it entirely in the TLD community's hands? And my second question is, you were saying the process for finalisation of the discussion period on this is 25th of June during BA. I assume there's still probably some input coming from the accountability working group that might impact your final report. So when do you contemplate having the final names proposal together and published? Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Yeah, you put the finger on two very, very important aspects. The last one first. The perceived timeline today is June 25th at least. And as you mentioned, we are really interdependent on the CCWG, the other working group. And the, as far as I know, we're still aiming at June 25th, and I think that there might be, since we are doing the institutional design or the functions, we can meet that deadline. And if there are still open issues in the accountability working group, we might put conditional text in saying, assuming that the accountability CCWG does this and that, we propose this and that. But I have no full picture of the future actually here. That's the best answer I can give you. When it comes to the ICANN role in selection of members of the CSC and PTI board, this is of course also a very important thing. As mentioned, key for many CCTLDs is the separability, and not necessarily the separation, but the separability. As some people say, if I can appoint PTI board and CSC, then why? To what extent is it still independent from ICANN? And when we're talking about the CSC, starting with that, my perceived picture is, or what I take from the discussion is that the CCTL, the CCNSO, the GNSO, and the IAB will nominate members to the CSC, and in such way keeping some independence from ICANN. When we're talking about the PTI board, there are lots of views or opinions going around. And according to my view, at least, this has not been decided how the PTI board is assembled per se. Some people say it's supposed to be ICANN, but as you indicate, then it wouldn't be an independent organization. So this is still to be discussed. Thank you. So, could we go to Peter Koch, please? Peter, I we don't hear you. I don't know if you're on mute. No, we cannot hear you. Okay, so there's some problem with Peter's input, and he will... now I hear someone.
Peter will type it, Stefan, in the chat.
Yeah. Oh, it has three issues. The role of the IAB in the CSC is as responsible for ARPA TLD only. And to be frank with you, Peter, I don't know that. I can't answer it. But the general approach is that it is the direct customers that constitute the CSC and not indirect customers, being said that. So that's one sufficient answer at least. You know. And then Peter Koth writes, okay, Annex suggests that the IAB, as an example only, wanted to make sure it's not related to protocol IANA. Well, the discussions was all the time around to ensuring that to narrow down the CSC function to just overviewing technical operations and nothing else. And that's the main task of it. And in doing this, it should be very lightweight, few people. It should not be crowded because then it will lose flexibility and it will be very costly since it's a standing committee. And it's also perceived to be the continuation of today's situation where actually TLDs were and a few other actors were the main customers and should be in the future. So that's why. So we stick to the direct customers definition by having the direct customer part of the CSC and not, for example, the GAC or other organizations. So that's why I can't answer exactly for what is in the annex just sitting here. I need to read it further. Second, overlap with the IETF 1D admits that IETF may reserve parts of DNS namespace. There's currently debate around special names, including CCT-like names, so there is non-negligible risk of policy laundering through the IETF named community might be a bit more resistant here. Yes, and that is exactly the reason why we want to design the CSC as a very narrow organization, just overviewing technical operations with a few members and a very limited mandate. That everything that has other reasons than technical operation should go through the multi-stakeholder process. So that's a considered design, institutional design. I hope that is answer to your question, Peter. And then your third question, addition of services. Where could we find details? I guess it's supposed to say. Peter is typing also. For example, current ad hoc group for designing key rollover does not have a formal home in any policy setting body. No, that's true. And I mentioned this quite fast, that there's at least considerations. Well, there need to be one mechanism for accepting, for example, key rollover. When we talk about functions and organization, I think I mentioned this as part of the proposal. Maybe this could be elaborated in the proposal, and if so, all of us are happy for input on your questions, Peter. Thank you. So, Bart, you took your hand down, so I'll go through.
Yeah, Staffan, just in maybe in addition, as one of the support staff for DTF, one of the design teams, I know it's the last point Peter raised is still under discussion. So maybe that's a good thing to note at this point already. The CWG and especially some of the design teams that have prepared the proposal are still looking into details. So this is just a high-level overview of the current status. Details are still being discussed within the CWG itself. And the point Peter raised is part of that discussion. So it might be helpful again if Peter and others, if you have these specific issues, raise them in the public comment as well.
Mm-hmm. So, and Peter, if you want to engage now the Keys design team, F as in Foxtrot, I guess, I think that is the key to get into this discussion. If you want to engage, happy if you do. So it's 7 minutes to the hour. So let's go ahead to the floor. Peter van Roster, please.
Thank you, Stefan. I'll wait with my question on the appeals until I've reread annexes J, K, and L. I assume the answer might be in one of those. I have a question on the separation. When we discussed it in the center community, it was that area was identified as the area that made the process most vulnerable for any power grab by a specific group, regardless of who that group would be. Has there been any discussion in the CWG on the triggers for such a separation review? Thanks.
Yes, there are a lot of triggers, and the power grab is key to all of discussions, I would say. And it relates to a balance or relates to issues of trust. Triggers have been discussed, and right now I'm a little bit inconvenient in pointing them out too much because I'm not sure what actually, but this is, in general terms, it's to be decided in more detail. But of course, there need to be triggers in these processes. And this is in close liaison with the CCWG work, how these triggers will happen. But since I've been involved in the CSC quite a lot, I can only talk for that function. And to that extent, we had a quite strong view that there shouldn't be a strong mandate, at least, for the CSC to trigger development or trigger wider policy processes, but that should be from the multi-stakeholder process, so rather in the review teams. This is also a way of making things systematic and not ad hoc oriented. We're overviewing a picture where it's not one single event that should start a quality work within this process, but rather the reviews per se, having them consistently over and over again, it will gain quality in the long term. That is the so to speak, a lying perception of how this will work. I'm not sure if I answer you well enough, but in the remainder of the time, I'd rather stay with that, at least for now. And if we could go into more details, I might give you a better answer. But before doing that, may we also give Paul Tindall a thought, please.
Stefan, thank you very much for the overview. For those of us that are suffering CWG overdose, it's handy to catch up on a lot of these activities, and I appreciate you would be suffering that much more than many of us. But I had a couple of quick questions. I'll try and keep them brief. The first is to do with timelines and timeframes, and it may not be one for you, but one for staff to take away, and also, well, whether Bart wants to address it or whether it's something that council's going to look at. In terms of a coordinated CCNSO response, whether something is expected by the May deadline or at least something by the 25th of June. So that's a procedural question because many of us will put in our individual submissions, but I've noted that when it comes to things like, was it DTB's survey had a poor response rate and the overall engagement, I note that people have a finite amount of time and can't dedicate their attention as much as some can. And my concern is that we get to the point where now we're the devil's in the detail, and would the CCNSO in any way be able to facilitate a greater conversation on that? And my second question was about one of those details, and that was it was with interest that I saw that the IANA Functions review team has been proposed to be broken down into two CCs, one CCNSO member, one not, and then effectively five members from the G side and then other ACs and SOs. Do you have any background that I might have missed in terms of how that was arrived at? Because my first reaction is that's an interesting breakdown. I appreciate that's more like an ATRT-style review team, and that the CSC is where the work is done on the ground at the immediate moment, but it still seems like there's a disproportional relationship there, and if you had any background on how that was arrived at would be very useful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Your last question first. I had a bell in my ears, but let's take it anyhow. The proportions are, of course, extremely important, and I did not follow how this proportions, as you mentioned, came into place, and it seems like one party arguing for something they want. I'm not sure, but I need to look into it to get to know this. When we talk about more general procedural questions, and specifically for the CCNSO, yes, the timelines are really tight here, and it gives a lot of headache for all involved parties. So the important process for the CCNSO is, of course, to get some kind of consensus, not only from members, but also preferably from the community as a whole. And this is, I know the deadlines are really tight. I think the CCNSO need a if I remember correct, June 8th or something, that they need to have a decision, and CCNSO board need to discuss this. But I don't have a better understanding than you do on how this will work out. Was that answering your questions?
It will for now. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Stefan, may you just make a small remark regarding Paul's first question? And Keith, please correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a councillor. But say the CCNSO council is very aware of the tight deadlines, etc. And they have been focusing, I would say, almost even before the Singapore meeting. They've been focusing on the decision-making process. At this stage, and maybe you recall from the initial draft period, the CCNSO Council is of the view that making a submission on behalf of the CCNSO Council, let alone on behalf of the CCNSO community as a whole, is impossible. For two reasons. One is more principle, is that, say, at least in the previous public comment period, you saw a wide divergence in views and take on say the proposals. And secondly, the timeline is prohibitive to get to the point of a well thought through council statement and or council or CCNSO statement or input. So these are two major factors. At the same time, it's very aware of the decision-making process, and that, say, it is not so much the view of the CCNSO council that matters at the end of the day. It is having a inclusive and probably, especially an inclusive decision-making process, not only for the CCNSO members, but also, say, for the whole CCTLD community, that turns this into a legitimate process. So the council is working on this, and as part of that process, It more or less decided that specifically seeking input and explaining the proposal as it stands now is the role and responsibility of the members of the CNSO appointed members on the CWG, and say once the proposal is finalized, then the council will take over its responsibility, and that will be the main driver. So that's by early June, as soon as there is more clarity. And so this topic is on every council agenda and drives that council agenda. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bart. We are 3 minutes past the hour, so if there are no more urgent questions or remarks, I'd like to round up this. Once again, please contribute with your written proposals before May 20th. We'd had some really good remarks here today, and those are important. It's also a bit of a legitimate issues if remarks come from others than the closest one talking too much on the phone. So please write something in through the mechanisms presented in the web, etc. So if there are no more hands in the Adobe room and no one more is shouting on me, I would like to say thank you for today and hope to see you in Buenos Aires or online at least. So thank you very much all, and goodbye.